Turn your Bibles with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We are continuing our series through the book of 1 John. And we're going to start in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 3. Starting in verse 3. The Bible says here in verse 3, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning through your word, that you would show us your truths, and that you would bind them in our hearts. Father, I pray that you would help us to see the wonderful power that you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ, to overcome the bondage of sin in our lives, to live a life that is pleasing to you. Lord, I pray today that you would help us to overcome the deceitfulness of the devil, and that we would be closer to you and gain knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might experience the fullness of God this morning. Thank you, Father, for all you're doing and all you have done. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week we learned a great biblical truth from verse 3 of this chapter. We learned that because of the awesome love of God towards his children, the believer in Jesus will desire to live a lifestyle that is pleasing to him. Because of the great love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he has given to us through his grace and love, we will desire to live a life that is pleasing to him. That's what we're told in verse 3 here. Remember, John is confronting some false teachers that have spread false teaching among the community of believers. This is why he says, "Let no man deceive you," in verse 7. Apparently, one of the false teachings was that because of the grace and love of God, the way you live in the flesh does not matter. That's what they were kind of saying. They were basically saying, these false teachers claim that their lifestyles did not matter to God as long as they believed in the grace and love of God. Now, this lie from the devil is still proclaimed today by many who claim to know the Lord. There's still many out there that say, "Oh, just focus on his grace, focus on his love, and don't worry about how you live." Well, that's contrary to what we see here taught in this passage. Please understand, God's grace never leads into sin, nor is it a license to sin. God's grace and love always leads away from sin. It always leads away from it. Because of God's grace and love, we are forgiven of our sins. I'm so grateful that God, by his grace, has saved me and forgiven me of my sins. But we are not released from the responsibility to avoid sin. On the contrary, God's grace and love will give us the motivation we need to overcome a lifestyle of unrighteousness, of sinfulness. Now, in our passage today, the Apostle John explains why we can pursue moral purity. Why can we pursue moral purity? I think about being sinless and being morally pure, and I think, I can't do that on my own. And you should understand that. You can't do it on your own. You can't live a lifestyle of righteousness on your own. You can't please God on your own. But God has given us everything we need through Jesus Christ to live a righteous lifestyle. Understand, this pursuit of purity is something God never intended for you to do on your own. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 for a minute. Ephesians chapter 2, it's a familiar verse to all of us who have known the Lord for a while. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So, you see, God's grace not only saves us, but it also is given to transform us, to help us do good works in our lives. So, yes, we are saved by grace and nothing else. We are saved by faith, by grace through faith, right? And not of works. But we also know that because of that wonderful grace that was shed on us so that we could have our sins forgiven, that same grace was given to us so that we could live the way God wants us to. He will equip us by His grace to do what He calls us to do, and that is to pursue a life of moral purity. As we will see, it is only because of Jesus and what He does for us that we are able to pursue a life of purity. So let's take a look at this passage and see why we can pursue purity. Look at verse 4 again. It says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him." Now, first of all, we can pursue purity because Jesus took away our sins when we trusted in Him. We can pursue purity because Jesus took away our sins when we trusted in Him. Now, at first glimpse, this passage seems to teach that anyone who commits even one sin is not a Christian, or that if you are a true Christian, you will never sin again. Now, understand, both of those interpretations is not true. Neither one of those interpretations is true. And it actually contradicts what John tells us in chapter 1, what he's already told us in chapter 1 of 1 John. Let's look at that real quick. Chapter 1, verse 8. Look what it says. It says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." And this is talking to believers. Understand this. If you go back a few more verses, you'll see that the audience is our Christians. These are Christians. And so for us as Christians to say that we don't have sin, that we'll never sin, is a lie. And we need to understand that. So what is this passage saying? If it's not saying that if we commit one sin, we're not a Christian, and it's not saying that a true Christian will never sin again, what is it saying? Well, this is a good time to know a little bit about the Greek language. I studied a lot of Greek in college and even taught Greek after college. But I try not to bring too much Greek into my sermons, because that's when everybody goes, "Huh? Wait a minute, what did you say?" Okay. But this particular time, I think it'd be good for us to understand a little bit about Greek. Now, notice the phrase, "whoever commits." Notice that phrase, "whoever commits." This is a phrase that is, in the Greek, a present participle. Now, understand something about the Greek. The tenses in the Greek are far more descriptive than in English. You know, we have past, present, and future tenses. Well, the tenses are a little bit more descriptive in Greek. What this present participle tense means in this term, whoever commits, is that it indicates an action that is ongoing or continual. Okay? It indicates an action that is ongoing or continual. So what we're talking about is someone being described that has an ongoing, continual lifestyle of sin. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. And that's the language actually used. Along with the word sin and lawlessness, which in the Greek indicate a willful and deliberate departure from the way of the Lord. So the person described here is someone who is actually living a lifestyle that is openly opposed to the law of God. Understand that, okay? So now that we understand a little bit more about what it actually says from the original language, I think we can better define what John is talking about here. So the person here described is someone who is actively living a lifestyle that is openly opposed to the law of God. This is John's view of the false teachers. This is John's view of the false teachers and what their lives are like. As a matter of fact, it's also the Apostle Peter's view of these people. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. In verses 12 through 14 and verse 18, the Apostle Peter describes false teachers. I want you to notice how he describes these people. He says, "But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children." Look at verse 18. "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped those who live in error." So this is describing these false teachers. No wonder we see John vehemently proclaim that people like this are definitely not children of God. That's what he's saying to us. Understand, you cannot live a life of lawlessness and a lifestyle that is directly opposed to God and his law and think that you are right with him. To think that you have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It just doesn't mesh. And we should not think that it can mesh. We should not think that we can live a sinful lifestyle and be right with God. It's totally contrary to what we know about Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to see here. If someone really knows Jesus Christ, they're going to want to live a righteous lifestyle, not a sinful lifestyle. You see, your whole life changes. Your whole outlook changes. Your heart changes because you know who Jesus is. That is what we need to see. So when we see the word sin in this passage, it should be defined as a continual rebellion against God, reflected in a lifestyle of unrighteousness. That's how we should see it in this context and in this passage, okay? So the point here is that a person who is continually living a lifestyle that is openly opposed to the law of God does not know Jesus, okay? Now, why is this true? Why is this true? John gives us why. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. It says, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." Okay, here's the first reason. We know that we should live for the Lord and be righteous as believers because a Christian understands the implications of the work of Jesus. Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. He came to the earth to die on the cross for our sins. That's why he was manifested. He came to this earth, lived a sinless, perfect life, sacrificed his life on the cross, died an awful, horrible death, both physically and spiritually, so that we could have our sins forgiven. And then he rose from the grave on the third day to show us his mighty power, to show us that he has power over death and over life. And because of that, because the sinless Savior took on the unthinkable physical and spiritual suffering that he did to pay for our sins, then we ought to desire to live a righteous life and have nothing to do with the sins that put him on the cross. Think about it for a minute. Why would we want to openly and actively continue to partake in anything that put Jesus in that situation? Why? We shouldn't. There's no way someone that really knows Jesus, really knows what he has done, and is abiding in him, would ever want to do that. That is why John is able to say clearly and definitively that anyone who is openly, actively opposing God in an unrighteous lifestyle is not right with him, cannot be right with him. It's not there. Does not know Jesus. Does not know him. So, this is the understanding you get when you abide in Jesus. When you have a personal, loving relationship with Jesus, you will be opposed to what he opposes, and you will be for what he advocates. That is what we need to understand. John's message is that no one who is abiding in Jesus Christ will choose to live a sinful lifestyle. If you are struggling with a sinful lifestyle, if you're struggling, I want you to know something. Jesus Christ loves you so much that by his grace, he provided a way so that you could have your sins taken away. Everything you've done, no matter how bad or how long you've done it in the past, will be completely wiped away, and you can start with a clean slate, and he will give you his grace to live a life of righteousness. That is what he offers you. That is why he died on the cross. So that he could take away your sins and take away the bondage of sin in your life. So if you are struggling with sin, my friend, please, please trust in Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Trust in his death, burial, and resurrection. for not only the forgiveness of your sins, but the power to help you overcome sin in your life. I promise you something, he will. He will answer that prayer. Because that is his whole purpose. That is his whole purpose for you. That's why he was manifested. And you can count on that. So if you are struggling with a sinful lifestyle, decide to trust and obey Jesus. Ask him to take away your sins and help you pursue purity. Look at verse 7 and 8. It says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Secondly, we can pursue purity because Jesus destroys the work of the devil in those who trust in him. Now, not only can we see can we get rid of the sinful lifestyle, a sinful lifestyle, because of the work of Jesus, but we can also practice a righteous lifestyle because of Jesus. I want you to understand, Jesus came also, he was manifested also, that we could practice righteousness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 21. This is talking about Jesus. It says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Now look at 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 24, it says, "Who himself," this is Jesus, "who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins," right? Sins taken away, sinful lifestyle taken away, "might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." So you see, Jesus, in his death, burial, and resurrection, not only gave us the ability to have our sins forgiven, but he also gives us the power to live in righteousness. That's what we see here. That was his purpose for being manifested, for coming, so that we could have victory over sin, so that our lives could be characterized as a life of godliness and righteousness instead of being characterized as a sinful, degenerate lifestyle. You understand? There's a total swing here that Jesus wants to do in our lives. He wants us to rely on his power, the power of his death, burial, and resurrection, the power of the stripes that he took for us, to live a life of righteousness. That is what he wants. He wants us to rely on him. Understand something. If you don't think Jesus is powerful enough to help you live a righteous lifestyle, then you don't know him very well. Understand that. If you don't think Jesus is powerful enough to help you live a righteous lifestyle, then you don't know him very well. That's why he died on the cross. According to these verses, that's what we see. But the devil wants to deceive us. He wants to deceive us, and he wants us to believe the opposite. The devil wants to deceive you into believing you can't live a life of righteousness. I don't like getting deceived because I know it means me getting robbed. I don't like getting deceived because I know I'm getting robbed of something. A young man shopping in a supermarket noticed a little old lady following him around. He stopped. She stopped. Furthermore, she kept staring at him. Finally, she finally overtook him at the checkout. And she turned to him and said, "I hope I haven't made you feel ill at ease. It's just that you look so much like my late son." He answered, "That's okay. I know it's silly, but if you could call out, 'Goodbye, Mom,' as I leave the store, it would make me feel so happy." She then went through the checkout, and as she was on her way out of the store, the man called out, "Goodbye, Mom." The little old lady waved and smiled back at him. Pleased that he had brought a little sunshine into someone's day, he went to pay for his groceries. "That comes to $121.85, the clerk said. "How come so much? I only bought 5 items. The clerk replied, "Yeah, but your mother said that you would pay for her stuff as well." You see, when you get deceived, you often get robbed. Amen? Well, here's what I want you to understand. Don't get robbed of your peace and joy, the peace and joy of living a righteous life, because of the devil's lies. Don't believe him. Don't believe that you can't live the way God wants you to. Don't believe that you can't live a life that is characterized by godliness. You can, and it's by the power of Jesus that you can. That's why it is possible. Jesus will help you. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He understood that Jesus would give him the strength to do whatever he called him to do. And that's what he will do in our lives. He calls us to live a life that is characterized by righteousness. And he has given us the power and the means to do so if we will just trust in him. God's grace through Jesus is powerful enough to help you live righteous if you trust in him instead of listening to the lies of the devil. Finally, we can pursue purity because Jesus gives a new nature to those who trust in him. Look at verse 9. It says, wrong book. Here we go. Verse 9 says, "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." Now, remember our definition of sin in this context. It is a continual rebellion against God reflected in a lifestyle of unrighteousness. So the believer in Jesus, someone who has been born of God, cannot live in continual rebellion against God reflected by a lifestyle of unrighteousness. Why? Because the seed of Jesus is in the believer. It is the new nature we receive from the Lord that is nurtured by the Holy Spirit indwelling us that helps us avoid sin, avoid a lifestyle characterized by sin, and helps us live a life of righteousness. Because of our new nature and the working of the Holy Spirit within us, we can live a life characterized by righteousness. When you sin, confront it with repentance instead of justification. That is what God wants us to do. He wants us to live a life that is righteous, and he has provided a way. When sin comes in our lives, recognize it. Confess it to God, and he will be faithful and just to forgive you of that sin. And then try it with all the Lord's power that he gives you to avoid sin in your life and do what is good. And I promise you, you will live a life that is pleasing to God. That is what he wants for us. That is the mark of a true Christian. That is the mark of someone who is born of God. You know, the metaphors and words used in this passage remind me of a passage where Jesus explained his parable of the tares in Matthew chapter 13. You can turn there if you want. I'll read it for us. Matthew chapter 13 in verses 36 through 43. Matthew chapter 13. In verse 36 it says, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man,'" Jesus. "The field is the world, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, us who believe in Jesus. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one," the devil. "The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness," notice that word, "and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I want you to notice a couple phrases here. One, the metaphor of the seed. The seed of the Son of Man. That same seed that John says is in us who believe. Notice that. Notice the devil's work here. He's deceiving, and he's deceiving people in this passage of Scripture, leading them away from God. And notice the word lawlessness. Same word as we see in 1 John. You see what's happening here? You see the difference? That's why we need to trust in the work of Jesus when he died on the cross to take away our sins. Because if you listen to the lies of the devil and you continue in your sinful, lawless lifestyle, you will end up in a place where there is fire and a place where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth, and you do not want to go there. So please, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in his power to help you not only have your sins forgiven, but overcome a sinful lifestyle, and you will experience his power, and he will give you his power. He'll give you a new nature. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit, and you will know Jesus in a way that you will be able to live for him. That is what his desire is for you. That is why he came, so that you could have this wonderful, victorious life. So please, please, remember, God has given all who trust in Jesus a new nature that is nurtured by his Holy Spirit to enable you to live righteously.